Duke Sherritt, Chief Fire Inspector, retired 1992. Alrighty. Please state your full name and place of birth.
My full name is John Keith Harvey Sherritt. I was born in London, Ontario, July the 5th, 1929.
When did you enlist in the Royal Canadian Horse Artillery?
In 1951.
Yes. What motivated you to choose the artillery over other branches?
I didn't choose it. I went down to join the army, and they needed artillerymen, I guess, at that time, and they were recruiting a whole bunch, so I just went along with it, you know, and I went from there to Shiloh, Manitoba.
Shiloh, Manitoba?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
That's where I did my recruiting, or did my basic training.
In Shiloh?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you feel the Canadian government was properly prepared for an involvement in another conflict following the huge demobilization subsequent to the Second World War?
That's not a hard question. they had the special force. Yeah, I wasn't special. I was regular force, but they had the special force, and they were the first ones over there, and they took anyone. Period. To get them ready for that thing, and then they took them to Seattle, Washington, where they went on combat training. This is coming from Rote, and anyways, and then they sent them over there. With us, I did my basic in Shiloh, Manitoba. I did my jump course there. They had a tower there, and I did the jumps in Rivers, Manitoba. And then we finished the course, or we finished the training and everything, and then they came in, and there was a train crash at Canoe River, and it was taking regiments to Seattle, and it was a head-on collision, and a lot were killed. And so they had to have radio. I was a radio operator, by the way.
Yep.
And they had a radio, and so they sent a whole bunch of us, and we went over there. We got to Seattle, Washington, and we boarded the USS General Black, and there were 3,000 aboard, not all Canadians, Americans too, and it was crowded, and I was down three holes down and four bunks high. I was that far from the from the deck, anyways. And then it took us 16 days from Seattle, Washington, to Yokohama, Japan, where we stayed there for I think it was 2 to 3 days. And then we sailed for Incheon Harbor, Korea, where we disembarked. And we got there, and it was already taken by us, but we had to go in by landing barges, not to attack. It's just that during the war, so many ships got sunk in the harbor, they couldn't bring the big ship in. And we had to climb down rope ladders and into the barges, and then we went ashore in Korea. And it's, you can imagine you're 19 years old, and not to mention that I was scared poopless. and as we were going in, you've heard of the battleship, the USS Missouri. It was the biggest battleship in the world. It's over here in mothballs. But they pulled that out and put it into action to, and when we were coming in, it was pitch black, and she was, I guess, 30, 40 miles offshore, and she was shelling Seoul, Korea, and they fired a broadside. Holy jeez, and it lit up the sky, because there were 16-inch shells, and they're like freight cars going over, you know. And anyways, and I almost had to change my underwear. I wasn't the only one. But everybody in there jumped, eh? And then we got there, and then they lined up the guys that were coming back, our regiment, we were relieving. And we weren't equipped with that, you know. We were poorly equipped as far as uniforms. And we lined up and found a guy the same size as me, and I changed my great coat so he'd look a little decent going back. for his combat stuff, eh?
Okay.
Because they didn't supply them well then. And what else can I tell you? And then...
So, the equipment part, you think, was part of the ill-preparedness of the Canadian government.
We all had Second World War equipment.
Yeah.
Lee Enfield, 303 rifles, you name it, Sten guns and Bren guns and all that. And like I said, I was radio op, and we got into position, and we got up to where the militarization zone. I got sent to first, I forget where the hell it was first, but anyways, I was sent to Hill 355, which was they nicknamed it the Little Gibraltar, which is a, fair-sized hill. I have a picture somewhere. And then I went up to the observation post. And what you do, I was on the guns and then up there. But what the radio op does at the OP was his officers up there, and of course you have glasses to spot. And he sees a target, he calls it down to me, and I'm right with him. And I radio back to the guns. And then the guns line up, and then he gives a position for firing. Like, for instance, this may be a little but if you spot and he said, okay, and I'm on the set, and he'll say, battery target. That means battery, that's six guns. The whole regiment is there, but he just wants the six guns. And he'll say, battery target. And I get on the radio, and I say, we're 2-1 able, the guns are 2-1. And I get on the radio, and I say, 2-1 able for 2-1, 2-1 able for 2-1, battery target, battery target, battery target. They repeat that back, and everybody piles out of their bunkers and goes to the guns, to get ready. And then he'll look, and he'll say, number one gun ranging, and I'll call that back down. And he'd say, oval tower bearing 360 degrees height, 440, and so on. And you have to radio now. You got to pronounce the numbers clearly. And that's why you say niner, or whatever he said. Anyways, you radio that down, they radio back, and he say, number one gun ranging, number one gun fire. And I say that, number one gun ranging, and they fire the one gun. Then he, when it hits, he corrects it. He say, left 25, that means 25 feet. Left 25, height 60 meters. Something like that. I radio that back, and they say, and he'll say fire, and I'll say fire over, and they repeat. Shot out, that means it's gone. And then it hits, and then he's got it right on target, and he say, battery target, fire, and the whole battery fires onto the position. And he'll say four rounds or whatever. Then he watches the results, and then you close it down. But the night that we got hit on Hill 355 was they mortared us. They mortared the hell out of us. And on the position, because the first place they try to knock out is the high hill, because they can be seen from up there. Anyways, they hit us, and at the bottom of Hill 355, which is steep, there's a thing like a spur, a little mountain, comes out like that. The PPCLI were there, and to get there you had to go down, and we called it the bowling alley, or the mad mile, and to get to that position, they close the gate, and then you open, and then you drive like hell, because you're under enemy observation for at least 2 miles, and they can mortar down on you. Anyways, they hit that position at they estimated 1,100 at a time, and they were pounding them four deep at the wire, but they couldn't stop them. Because a Bren gun, I don't know if you know what a Bren gun
is. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. But they got so hot you could change barrels, but they melted, just tilted like that and jammed, eh? Anyways, to make a long story, they overran them, and they got in behind us, and we were surrounded at the bottom of the hill, and an artillery officer on hill, I forget where it is, and he knew we were in shit, or pardon me, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, feel free.
And he knew we were in shit, and he called down the fire, and he called it down on their own position, right on top of us. And the PPCLI counterattacked, and they kept up this fire. They were round after round after round, And the PVC Ally counterattacked and drove the Chinese into the wall of fire and just cut them to pieces. And that was that night anyways. I don't want to talk war stories, but that...
feel free.
That was quite a night. But and what else would you like to
know? Wow, that's very good general consensus here,
yeah,
experience there. But that's very good.
I'll tell you, I don't know what other guys would say, but...
These aren't pictures, but are these what you're missing?
No, it was just basic training for... you know, for civilians like myself, but I found that I was born in London, Ontario, and when the Second World War ended, I was 14 or 15, and we moved to Toronto, and I was working for 50 cents an hour anyways to make, I was hanging around with the wrong people, and I swear that if I hadn't been in an army, or joined the army, nobody made me join it, I wanted to. And I might have wound up in jail. I don't know how the other guys feel, but I feel that joining the army made a man out of me. And, you know, I'm not a bum or I'm not well educated or anything like that, but they taught me things. And discipline, they don't have it anymore. And discipline is what saves your life when you get in a combat position. For instance, we were on parade in Shadow, Manitoba, and I dropped my rifle, which is a no-no. And the parade square is huge. A 303 Lee Enfield rifle weighs 9.5 pounds, I think. And they made me put my hands out like this. And they
laid, in front of you.
Yeah, like this. And they laid my rifle across my fingertips, and I had to run around that parade square 5 times at double pace. And that gosh dang thing weighed about 2,000 pounds. What I'm trying to explain there, you never made the same mistake twice. I never dropped my rifle. And other things they do, and you know, and they're right in your face, and they're giving you hell for this and that, and you're pissed off about it, but the thing is that they're trying to tell you that they got to have this discipline. That the night we got attacked, and somebody had asked me at the press here years ago, they said, well, why didn't you run? And that's a good question. Because the Americans were on our right flank, and they had disappeared, left us there anyway. And it's a good question. And I said, I didn't get up and run because the guy next to me didn't, and he's thinking the same thing. If one guy gets up, the whole line would have broke. And that's discipline again. So, you know, and like I say, it's no joke here. I don't want to use rough language because you got.
Oh, go ahead.
but it makes a man out of you. You're scared. I mean, really scared. But you don't move and you do your job. And I'm 79 years old, and they made a man out of me. They made a man out of me, and I'm proud of all the time it did and all the poop I got into and everything else.
Oh, now I jumped up.
Oh, nice.
Here's it.